Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today. All right, and thank you so much for tuning in to the Grace for This City podcast. Hey, we're helping you turn your city upside down. I'm telling you, if you want to go out and do great things for the Lord, this is one of the things that we're going to have to get a hold of. We're going to have to turn these cities upside down for His glory. And we're giving you the scriptural strategies and motivation to help you do that very thing. So listen, friend, if we've encouraged you in any way, let us know. We'd love to celebrate with you. Send us an email at hello@gracecitychurch.tv. That's hello@gracecitychurch.tv. Or call us 870-741-9099. And let us know what the Lord's doing in your life. We want to celebrate and champion you, my friend, as you're out there turning your cities upside down. If we can help you in any way, be a prayer support or send you some resources to encourage you and strengthen you, reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. Well, hey, we got a great show for you today, and I am joined once again in the podcast studio, oh, by my great friends. Don't you know it's better to do life together with good people? Bob and Christina.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, by the way, you can see their darling faces if you tune into the podcast on Facebook and YouTube. By the way, we stream live every Thursday at 10 a.m. Grace for This City podcast on YouTube, Grace for This City podcast on Facebook.
Yeah, you know, it takes me a long time in the morning to get this face this beautiful.
I know it. That's why, Bob, I want to encourage people to tune in where they can see you so all that effort has not gone to waste.
Hallelujah. I know God sees all, but He probably gets tired looking at me all the time. So.
I don't know about that. Jesus had a beard.
This is true.
Didn't He?
This is true.
Hallelujah. Of course, Christina, look at her. Wow. She's all made up for the podcast. Wow. Praise the Lord. You guys need to tune in. You can see some extras, actually, which, by the way, we're including it today on the audio, though, all the bloopers, all the weird stuff that goes on.
That's praise the Lord. That's all right.
But so glad to have y'all on the podcast today. Thank of course, you. Y'all know Christina. She's our campus pastor here, Harrison, Arkansas. Bob's on our pastoral team. These are great people. Hallelujah. And just thankful for what the Lord's doing. Pastor Christina, Pastor Bob, bless y'all.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bless you, sir.
Yeah. Hey, we're a team.
Yes.
Amen.
And you know what we're doing on the podcast? We are giving people scriptural strategies and motivation to help them turn their cities
upside down.
Exactly. And, you know, listen, Bob and Christina, these aren't newbies. We've been doing this for a while, and we've been working to turn this city upside down, the cities that the Lord has directed us to and involved us in. And we're seeing it happen, folks.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. God has a plan and a destiny for where He has called you. Remember what the Spirit of the Lord through Paul told Titus. He said, I left you in Crete. Sometimes you feel like you've been forgotten. But you're not forgotten, friend. You are specifically called and ordained to that place where God has placed you. And this is what He said. He said, I want you to set in order the things that are lacking. And this is what He's called us to. There's a kingdom agenda we're advancing. We got to set in order those things that are lacking. We got to right side those things that have been flipped upside down. See, that the kingdom is almost like an upside down kingdom, but we are turning these cities upside down to align them with the mandate of the kingdom. Hallelujah. And He's using you. Oh, praise the Lord, friend. He's chosen you to work with Him. And so we pray today that you will be blessed, strengthened, and encouraged. We jump into the podcast again today. Hey, we are talking about the authority of the believer. And we've chosen to just grab a hold of a book by a man named Kenneth E. Hagin. And, of course, a spiritual mentor of mine from afar. And we just thank the Lord for mighty men and women. He has chosen people all throughout time, beginning, you know, in the New Testament with the disciples. And then from that point forward, God has chosen other men and women just like you and me. He's recruited us into His army. And he has blessed the body of Christ with members that have knowledge and revelation and insight to help rally the troops. Kennedy Hagin, or Brother Hagin as we affectionately call him, was one such man that the Lord used to just help the body get knowledge and insight. And so we've chosen to grab one of his books, The Believer's Authority, and excellent book here. And so we're just using this as a guide to help us through these podcasts to give you scriptural strategies and encourage you that you have authority. Now listen, you're facing unseen forces. And just because they're unseen doesn't mean they are not real. But demonic powers, principalities, rulers in heavenly places, spiritual influencers for the negative, dealers of death. And we are battling them. But listen, in Christ we have the victory. And you are more than an overcomer. And so we want to help you today get strong in that. How are you going to turn your city upside down? One way you're going to do that is you're going to move forward in the authority that is rightfully yours as being a member of the body of Christ. Jesus, Luke 10:19, we've read this on the podcast, but he says this, I have given you authority. One translation says, look. Another translation says, behold. Another one says, see. I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions. Snakes and scorpions, another way of talking about demonic powers and forces. He goes on to say, I've given you authority to tread on these things and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Oh, praise the Lord. And so these are your marching orders. We're going out here. We're laying hands on the sick. We're casting out demons. We're praying and administrating the Holy Ghost to people, baptizing them in the name of Jesus. People are getting delivered, healed, saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, getting their prayer language, sha-la-la. All of this is in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ. His kingdom is being advanced. And that's what you're doing. You're advancing the kingdom. And listen, it's important. We're getting out there and we're doing business. We are occupying. We are working while we still have a window. The workday window is still open up to us. If you look out, if you've been watching the news, what is it? It's June the 18th, 2020. If you know what's going on right now in the nation, it seems totally crazy. But this is prime. Oh, this is prime. Listen, let there be riots and revival in the name of Jesus. So we want to encourage you and who you are in Christ Jesus so you can get out there under the unction and leading of the Holy Ghost and overcome and see victories, see people saved, healed, filled, delivered, all that jazz. Hallelujah. So anyways, let's get into this, guys. You ready to get in this today?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. We want to turn our cities upside down.
Oh, yes, we do.
You know, there were some believers in the book of Acts, Jason and Paul and Silas, and they were accused of turning the world upside down.
Yep.
And we need to be blamed for that too.
Exactly. Who are these men? And that's what they're going to say about you. Who are these men and women and children even?
Yeah.
Listen, there's some people messing up the cities right now.
Yeah.
They're turning some stuff upside down now but I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying there's some crazy stuff going on. It's hurting people. It's destroying property. It's wasteful. It's, in a lot of ways, it's backed by some deceit. Listen, the truth, we're dealers in truth. And when we're talking about turning the cities upside down, we're talking about righting it.
Yeah.
You know, righting, making it right, setting things in order that are out of order. And the kingdom is the right way. Matthew 6:33, the master key, friend. Remember this, the master key. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. What is righteousness? The right way of doing and being. And so this is what we are commissioned as kingdom citizens, kingdom ambassadors. Listen, you are not of this world. You are in the world, but not of it. You are advancing a king's will, and dominion, and we are making right where the wrongs are. And there's a lot of garbage, a lot of lawlessness, a lot of things happening right now. There's no restraint, lawless, and things are being flipped and turned and trashed and distorted. But you're here.
That's right.
The kingdom is here, and God wants to see people delivered. You know, there's a lot of people getting caught in the middle of all this stuff, and they need to know the truth because the truth is going to set them free. All right, so we're going to get into this today, and if you're following along, we're going to be looking into chapters 5 and 6, maybe chapter 7, maybe, but so just give you a reference point. But we're going to talk about exercising the authority. Now, listen, it wouldn't do any good for you to have authority, but you just sit in your home and hide away from everything. Listen, that's not what this is about. You've got to go. He said go. He didn't say stay. He didn't say hide. He said go. And, folks, these are days of courage. Remember what he told Joshua, only be of good courage. I think he said that like 5, 6, 7 times.
Yeah.
Listen, these are those days. You're going to need courage. You're going to have to be willing to get up. You're going to have to be willing to open your mouth. And it's very polarized right now. I understand that. I understand that. You may be labeled something you don't want to be labeled, even if you're not trying to be labeled that. But I'm saying you're going to have to be willing to be criticized, ridiculed, mocked for the sake of the kingdom. But listen, in your forward advancing, what we are wanting to encourage you in is that when you come up against opposition, that's not the end of the game. Of course, the devil would love for you to believe that any little bit of resistance is it. You're done. No, this is where the authority comes in. I think it was our last podcast. We were talking about who gives the orders.
We do.
We give the orders.
Yeah. Yep.
You got to remember that, friend. The devil's going to try and deceive you. Don't be deceived. You have the authority. Now, in reference to exercising the authority, the door to exercising authority pivots upon two phrases. And this has kind of been something, a theme we've had through this series of podcasts, is the reality that we are seated with Christ, we've been raised with Him, and now we're seated with Him. And so the exercising of spiritual authority pivots upon these two phrases. Listen to this in Ephesians chapter 1. And set him, of course that's referring to Christ, at his own right hand, that's the Father, in the heavenly places. And chapter 2, verse 6, hath raised us up together. Now, this is where we have to understand the origin of our authority here. Christ the head has been raised, and all authority has been given unto him. We've been seated with him. And then Christ told us, I have given you authority. Well, he has the authority to give us authority, to delegate authority to us. But by right of our position or our seat, our fit place with Christ in the heavenlies, we operate in that same authority that's been given to the body to operate in. Kenneth Hagin says this, meditate on these two prayers. Learn to pray them for yourself. Feed on their truth until they become part of your inner conscious. Then it becomes second nature. You need to know where Christ is. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the head, and then where you are at in the body of Christ. He said, meditate on it till it dominates you, till it becomes like second nature. You can't just try and accept it mentally. You've got to get the revelation of it in your spirit. Listen, you are no match for the devil on a mental plane, on a natural plane. You're going to have to operate out of your spirit man. If you look to the natural, you know, sticks and stones and bullets and fists are no good against spiritual forces. You're going to have to operate from your authority from the spirit man. When you run into opposition, you can't go, oh, no, what do I do now? No, you need to be able to respond quick. And be like, in the name of Jesus, I command you to move.
And it's got to come out of your spirit.
It's got to come out of your spirit, not out of your mind.
No, because your mind can deceive you. It can pull you aside. And, you know, and there's most believers are going to understand what it's like to have stuff come out of their spirit. But there's people listening to this podcast. There's people watching that aren't familiar with that. they're not, they don't understand, well, how do I get something into my spirit?
Oh, that's good.
And I was thinking about that this morning, and I thought, what is an example of getting something into your spirit? So I'm going to ask you, pastors, do either one of you fluently speak Spanish?
No, sir.
No habla español.
No habla español. Okay. Well, if I say a word in Spanish, I bet you instantly will know what it is. Adios.
Bye.
What is it?
Goodbye. Adios.
Yeah, yeah, bye. Right, bye. Good. Goodbye.
Okay, let's catch up there.
What Christina said.
But, and most of us, when we hear that, adios, we know instantly it's coming out of our spirit, not out of our mind. We've heard it so much. It's become ingrained into us, even though it's not our natural language. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to take his word so much into us that it instantly pops out like adios.
That's good. So how would we do that? Well, one, like if you were going to learn a second language, you have to kind of immerse yourself.
Right.
And from what I understand, you know, I've watched some of these videos on YouTube of these people that are, what's it called, polylinguists, or you know what I'm talking about? It's people who know multiple languages, and which is a feat in and of itself. That's a difficult thing to do. Some of these guys can speak, you know, up to 10 different languages or more. And, you know, it's quite a feat just to know five languages, apparently. But they immerse themselves in the culture. Like, they watch videos, they do this, they listen to audio, you know, they got things on repeat. And then, you know, they say the easiest way is to literally get around people, to immerse yourself in the culture, get around people that are fluent, that are native to that language, and you'll learn it faster. Well, what I'm saying is, in order to get something down into your spirit, man, or where it just flows out of you like second nature, you really need to immerse yourself in the culture of it.
Right.
And this is no, and that would be how we would do it in the kingdom sense. You need to immerse yourself in the reality of what the kingdom protocol or concept or, you know, structure is. Just immerse yourself with it, surround yourself with people that are operating in it, and then practice it.
Yeah.
Meditate it.
Yeah. Can I throw something in there?
Yeah, throw it.
I took 2 years of Spanish in high school. And the second year, the general rule was that they only spoke Spanish in class. And for those of us that weren't probably prudent, as good a student, it was a lot of fun to try to keep up. But, I mean, you'd ask the teacher a question, and she'd say it back to you in Spanish, and you'd have to think through it. But like you're saying, you know what I mean, if you think, walk it, talk it, you know what I mean, when you're eating, you're thinking about it. When you're riding down the road, you know, and then somebody squishes you, it's like a sponge, and it should come out.
Yeah.
That's what you're getting to the point.
So, you know? let's see, La Cristina. Color favorita?
Blue, but I don't know what blue is in Spanish.
I don't either. Oh, somebody help us.
No, I've been around plenty of Spanish-speaking people to where I can be in a room and know what they're talking about, but I couldn't carry a conversation.
Oh, okay.
I know probably every fourth or fifth word.
So you probably shouldn't translate then.
No.
So, folks, we just got to immerse ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it'll just come out of you. And that's what we're talking about. Whatever's in you, when you're pressed, is what's going to come out of you. And what you want to come out of you is your authority. What you want to come out of you is your identity in Christ. What you want to come out when you're faced with opposition is not fear or terror, but confidence, boldness, and power.
And that's why that particular scripture out of Ephesians 2:6 says that we want to do this together with Christ.
Oh, that's good.
You know, when we're together with him, that stuff gets into our spirit continually. Wow. You know, I went and looked up that word together out of 2:6 in Ephesians, and I'm kind of like you. I like getting back into the Greek or the Hebrew and just playing with it, see what's there.
We like the Greek out.
Yeah, I like to Greek out. and I wouldn't consider myself a geek, but in this, I like doing it. But that word together, it in Strong's, it's 4862, and it's pronounced soon. And that word in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, the word together is used three times, and it's three different words.
Oh, wow.
But they all have their root in soon, and soon means with or together, but much closer than other words that are used for together.
Okay.
It's a very tight association, companionship, process, resemblance, possession, instrumentality, addition. It is a completeness, that word together that we're using there in Ephesians, raised up together with him.
Wow.
Now,
that's deep.
Where in Ephesians 2:5 it says we're alive together. Okay, that comes from that word soon, but it also has other words tied in, and it means to quicken quickly, you know, to make alive that together, that completeness. And then in Ephesians 2:6 it uses together a third time, and it says he made us sit together. Again, it goes back to that word soon. But it also means, it means to continue. We want to continually sit in heavenly places with Christ. That's how we get that stuff in our spirit.
Wow. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, be encouraged in that, friend. Be encouraged. And let's just receive it right now. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that you're helping us both to will and to do by your spirit. Now, Father, we will be one. That's what we've been called. Father, we are born again. It's our right of inheritance to be one with you, to be together with you in these things. We are not independently operating outside of our oneness together in the body, and we thank you for that. And Father, I thank you that even the listeners right now, they're getting a revelation. They're getting a revelation, Father, that this is who they are. This is who you are. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for it.
Yes.
So when you're faced with these oppositions, what's going to come out of you is going to be your identity. Now, you've been seated above all these things. See, we just read that. We're together with him above all these things. We're above, not beneath. We are the head, not the tail. And even though most of us culturally, if you grew up watching any kind of movies, any kind of Hollywood indoctrination on spiritual things, you probably have an idea that evil is strong and bad and powerful, and good is many times the underdog, sometimes weak and wimpy and barely scratching out a victory. But listen, that's not the truth. Jesus made a spectacle. He triumphed over the enemy. Brought him through the middle of town. That concept there, that triumphing, was like a when one particular country or whatever defeated their enemies, they would bring them through the center of town, and the townspeople would come out, the nation would come out, and they would take the defeated enemy and kind of parade him through town. Made a spectacle, total just like display of their utter defeat as they were brought through the town, the nation or the people group that just overwhelmed them, overcame them. That's what Christ did. He's defeated the enemy. He has triumphant over him, made a spectacle of him, paraded him, okay, paraded him around, showing everybody, look, in me, in Christ now, you have victory over these people, over this person, over this force, over this enemy, over this group, whatever. And that's the revelation that we need to get in Christ. We are above. We are the head. We have authority. We have Christ's power. We have Christ's spirit. Dunamis is on the inside of us. We're empowered to be a witness to this victory, a witness to this authority in Christ Jesus.
And as Brother Hagin goes on and talks here, he says that we can't get along without him, and he cannot get along without us.
What good is the head without a body?
Right. we are his body here on earth. And I know that throws a lot of people's theology up in chaos because what do you mean that he needs us? No, that's what he put us here for, to be his representatives, to turn this world upside down.
Yeah.
That got turned upside down some 6,000 years ago.
Yeah.
In the Garden of Eden.
Look at all the havoc. Okay, the destruction that the enemy has, you know, perpetrated upon the earth and in people's lives. What do we say, or what are we meaning when we say turn the city upside down? We're making the wrongs right.
Yes.
Okay. That's the gospel. Okay. That's the good news. That in Christ, if you're sick, you don't have to be sick anymore. In Christ, if you're poor, you don't have to be poor anymore. In Christ, if you've been held in bondage, if you'll accept Jesus Christ, you'll be conveyed out of that bondage and into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So when we say turning the city upside down, we are righting the wrongs, okay? This defeated enemy that has wreaked havoc, okay, and destroyed people's lives and things, etc. Now in Christ, we can make right the wrong. We're going to right side up the things that have been twisted, okay? In fact, the Hebrew word for wicked is where we get the modern-day word wicker, like a wicker chair.
Yeah.
That whole process of that where they use the whatever material that is, fibers, you know, natural fibers, a lot of times it's a twisting. Well, so that's where we get the modern word wicker, but it comes from wicked or twisted. Stuff that is wicked has been twisted, turned. It's been, you know, turned upside down. It's turned, and it needs to be righted. It needs to be straightened. Make straight. We're anointed to make things straight. Hallelujah. To yes. Untwist the twisting and to set things in order that have been made wrong. We do this as we are advancing God's kingdom. The authority we have is the authority to look at a twisted thing and say, in the name of Jesus, be made whole. Be turned right. Be made right. Well, that authority has to come from somewhere. Well, it's this triumphant authority and victory. It's the overwhelming authority and victory. It's the overcoming authority and victory that we walk in Christ Jesus. That's how you're going to turn your cities upside down. You're just going to look for wrong stuff. Okay? You're going to look for where the enemy has twisted something. And because you carry, you're an ambassador of the kingdom. And because you carry resurrection power, a good friend of mine, Clay Nash, said this, that resurrection power is the law or the power of divine reversal. You are setting right what was made wrong. Hallelujah.
Can I throw a scripture in there?
Jump in.
Throw away.
2 Corinthians 10:15 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And some of the other translations talks about every high-minded thing, every proud obstacle, every arrogant obstacle. And I was explaining something to one of my nephews where in your thought life, it's like you hold it up to the Word of God. You hold it up to the Word of God. Does that agree with the Word of God? Does that line up with the Word of God? No, it doesn't. Then you get that away from you.
That's good.
You stay in agreement with what the Word of God says. And, you know, that can be a guide and a leading in so many situations. You know, the rioting. You know, we look at that, hold that up against the Word. What does the Word say? What does the Word say about that? What does the Word say about killing authorities? What does the Word say about burning down people's businesses that you're saying you're defending?
Right.
You know, what does the Word say about that? Okay, that's a proud thought. That's in opposition to the Word of God. So that's not right. And then you take the Word and you hold it up and this is what's right. So anyway.
No, that's good. That you were in 2 Corinthians 10?
Yes, sir.
So that was casting down arguments.
Yes.
I think I'm trying to think of that statement that we made in one of the, either the last podcast or the one before. But we're talking about, you know, to have authority over something or to cast down something. You have to be stronger, more powerful than the opposing situation or object. And this is what we have in Christ Jesus. There are arguments. Okay, what are these arguments? It's deceits. It's lies. Okay? Where does it come from? The pit of hell. He's the father of lies. The devil is the father of lies. And there's no truth in him. So these arguments are going to be hurled at you or at the nation or at a group of people, whatever the situation is. I mean, just turn on the news briefly and just listen to all the arguments. Not all that's truth, friend. And people buy into these things that exalt themselves, these arguments, these strategies from hell that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. But you've got to come in there with a higher authority and be able to work the situation and pull these things, these strongholds down. How are you going to do that? Well, you have to be in a position of being stronger. You have to come from the position or the posture of overwhelming strength or victory or overcomer or the place and posture of authority. Something's got to give. Something's got to yield. The lesser will yield to the greater. Are you getting this in your spirit, friend? You see what, it seems like there's a theme already kind of shaping. You this has to come alive to you, or you will be taken advantage of by the devil. Do y'all see that? This has to come alive.
Yeah.
And I'm like pointing fingers at Justin here. This has got to come alive. We've got to be able to react out of our spirit, man. We have to be able to react. And I'm not saying we are in the constant reactionary position. What I'm saying is we have to move forward, make our advancements, and respond to the situations that we're encountering out of our spirit, man, that has this as a core revelation.
Yeah. We got to be aware of it.
Totally.
All the time, aware of what's going on around us.
If we are not, we'll be taken advantage of.
Right. You know, I believe there's some people out there right now that are listening or that are watching, and they're questioning, well, why are they still on this believer's authority? Why are we having our fifth episode?
Yeah. Fifth.
And we know what it is. Well, you know, how many times has the devil beat on you over the past 5 weeks or 6 weeks, and you didn't step up and take your authority? That's why we're doing this. We're doing it over and over and over again. So those imaginations, we can cast them down. And it's not, remember, it's not against people. It's not against flesh and blood. It is against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness. We're going to the root of the problem.
Yeah. Well, God is not going to do.
No.
Let me say it like this. God is in charge, but he's not in control.
That's right.
Yes.
And there is stuff going on in cities right now that ought not be happening.
Yeah.
But if the church, if the individual believer, if the ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven do nothing, God is not going to go behind us and clean up the mess. That's not how he's set it up, friend. You are the body of Christ. And if something needs to be dealt with, like Bob just said, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we are witnessing the fruit of arguments, deceptions, spiritual influences in people's lives. They're making decisions, doing this or that, or not doing something because of spiritual influences. And we've got to be able to go into an area, even like what Paul said in the book of Acts, as he's literally, he's sitting there, he's waiting for some people to come get him. and he recognizes the idolatry that's taken over a city. What was he seeing? What was he recognizing? The spiritual influences in a high place that had gained control in an area. And because of spiritual influences in a particular area, the people, okay, there was fruit of that influence. Those arguments, those strongholds, those mentalities, okay, people were buying into them, those deceptions. And as a result of what they were believing, there were actions in the natural. People are doing things based on what they believe to be true. But listen, we are waging a war on a spiritual level here. And if you don't know that God's left you in a place, okay, that's what Paul was telling Titus. You've been left in Crete, brother. Listen, sister, you've been left in Missouri, okay? Or you've been left in Oklahoma. Or I've called you to Arkansas or California or wherever you're listening from. I've called you to a particular nation. This isn't just perpetual vacation here, believer. Listen, God has called you, ordained you, appointed you to do what? Set things in order. How are you going to do that? Well, you're not going to go at it on the fleshly level, okay? Our battle is not against flesh and blood. But you're going to have to learn how to go into that place, take authority over those operating spirits, those controlling spirits. Those things that are trying to influence the natural realm from a heavenly place, spiritual place would be, maybe a better way of saying that. When we think of the heavenlies, we're thinking of heaven. But, you know, when you say these rulers in the heavenlies, what it's talking about is just these in the spiritual realm. These forces, these rebellious spirit beings that rebelled against God are trying to influence people on the earth to rebel against God and succeeding in a lot of ways. But you are an ambassador. You're carrying the truth of righteousness. And you are going to take authority in the heavenlies, so that you have access to somebody in the natural where you can deliver to them the truth. And once these forces in the heavenlies have been dealt with, then that person is in a position now to receive the truth and their deliverance. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Well, you know, in this book, The Believer's Authority, he goes on and he shares a story about a demon that Jesus refused to deal with. And that you think about that and you go, yeah, wow, that's scary.
Come on, let's go there.
That even Jesus would defer the authority over to somebody else. Mm-hmm. You want me to go ahead and
read that? Yeah, let's take us right there, Bob.
Well, Brother Hagin says in 1952, that's older than me, thank God.
Older than me.
The Lord Jesus Christ appeared to me in a vision and talked to me for about an hour and a half about the devil, demons, and demon possession. At the end of the vision, an evil spirit that looked like a little monkey or elf ran between Jesus and me and spread something like a smoke screen or a dark cloud. Hmm. Then this demon began jumping up and down and crying in a shrill voice, yakety yak, yakety yak, yakety yak. I couldn't see Jesus or understand what he was saying. Through this entire experience, Jesus was teaching me something. And if you'll be attentive, you'll find the answer here to many things that have troubled you. I couldn't understand why Jesus allowed the demon to make such a racket. I wondered why Jesus didn't rebuke the demon so I could hear what he was saying. I waited a few minutes, but Jesus didn't take any action against the demon. Jesus was still talking, but I couldn't understand a word he was saying, and I needed to, because he was giving instructions concerning the devil, demons, and how to exercise authority. I thought to myself, doesn't the Lord know I'm not hearing what he wanted me to? I need to hear that. I'm missing it. I almost panicked. I became so desperate. I cried out, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, I command you to stop. The minute I said that, the little demon hit the floor like a sack of salt, and the black cloud disappeared. The demon lay there trembling, whimpering, and whining, and like a whipped pup. He wouldn't look at me. Not only shut up, but get out of here in the Jesus name, I commanded. he ran off. The Lord knew exactly what was in my mind. I was thinking, why didn't he do something about that? Why did he permit it? Jesus looked at me and said, if you hadn't done something like that, I couldn't have. That came as a real shock to me, Brother Hagin said. It astounded me. Lord, I know I didn't hear you right. You said you wouldn't, didn't you? He replied, no. If you hadn't done something about it, I couldn't have. I went through this four times with him. And he was emphatic about saying, no, I didn't say I would not. I said I could not.
He could not. Why is this? Because the reality that Christ is the head, we are the body. He's not working independently of his own body.
Right. We have the authority to order these things.
Yep. And as long as we're in this current dispensation, this is how this is going to work. You, my friend, are going to have to deal with the devil. You can't pass it off. Listen, he's delegated it.
Yeah,
right.
He's
given Christina and Bob the authority.
Yes.
It's been delegated to you as members of the body to deal with these things. If you don't do it, then this is all we're doing. And let me say it like this. This is the revelation that's coming to us right now. Just receive it, friend. Hallelujah. Just thank the Lord for it. Just say, thank you, God. I hear. Whoa. Yes, I got it. I'm hearing. I understand. See, before, you've just been kind of sitting by passively, wishing and hoping. God, aren't you going to do something? Aren't you going to do something? Aren't you going to do something? What's God going to do? Look at what's going on. What's God going to do? What is God going to do? God's up to something. What's God going to do? Well, listen, he's up to something. He's getting knowledge of his will into the body so the body can respond to what's going on. But so much of the body doesn't realize that that little imp, that little monkey demon, yakety-yak, yakety-yak, it's going to stay right there, causing problems, interfering, throwing a fit until the body rises up and deals with it. This is why we're encouraging you. Listen, this is scriptural strategy. I'm telling you right now, get it in your spirit in the name of Jesus, that when you see something going on out here, don't just sit back and say, well, I hope God deals with that. You know, kind of murmuring to yourself.
Can I add in
here?
Yeah,
jump.
Brother Hagin has a section that talks about standing with for baby Christians. And he talks about, you know, when they're first saved, God permits others to pray with them and carry them on in their faith. But after a while, God expects that baby to grow up and walk and start doing things for himself.
Oh, Christina's going there.
God puts the baby down and lets them walk. But many won't. Too many people still want to be babies and have someone else pray for them all the time. We want to help those who can't help themselves, but we need to teach them, and that's what we're doing. We need to teach them so that they can grow and use their own authority, because the time will come that they'll have to use their own authority if they want their prayers answered. And over here, he answers the question, what happens to people who never attempt to exercise their faith on their own, but always rely on other people's faith? And he refers to a scripture, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he can devour. You get devoured. That's what happens if you just won't stand on your own.
Yeah, that slow antelope.
Yeah.
He's going to go after it first.
Exactly. So here's what the devil's going to do, okay? He's going to take advantage of where you won't use your authority.
Yes.
Right.
He's going to make a fit. He's going to throw up a smoke screen. He's going to yak, yak, yak. He's going to dance. He's going to mock you. Yep. He's going to ridicule you. He's going to position himself between you and Christ.
And a lot of that yakety yak, you can find it on the internet right now. You can find it on social media. Yes. I won't name any of them. Yak. Yeah, there's a lot of yakking. And if you sit there and you feed on that and listen to that, you've got a smoke screen up in front of face. Bob. You've got plugs in your ears where you cannot hear the Spirit of God telling you, take authority over it.
So listen, like Christina was saying, at some point, you're going to have to step up and do what you're supposed to do and stop that situation.
Yes. Okay, Learn what the word says.
Right.
Because that's what backs you.
Right.
If you don't know what the word says, then you really have no ammunition and no strength. You learn what the word says and who you are, and then you can move forward.
Then get in there.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's where the prayer of agreement comes in.
Yes.
If you are weak in this area, limping around, you may be up and you may be going, but you're limping, you can go to your brother or sister.
Yes.
Say, I need prayer of agreement. I need your help to overcome this thing. And that's what the body of Christ is here for.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, that person is taking an issue, though. They're saying, let's deal with this. Mm-hmm. Come help me deal with this.
Yeah.
They're not just saying, hey, you deal with it.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah.
Like, Christina, I have problems. Would you deal with it? No. Yeah. Now, let's join together because one can put 1,000.
Yes.
Two can put 10,000.
Yeah.
So listen, friend, we're out of time on the podcast, but I hope you've been encouraged today. I hope you've caught. I know you have. I'm releasing my faith. We all are releasing our faith today. Yep. That something, there was an increase in the spirit of seeing and knowing. You've just come up. Something has got imparted into your spirit, and you are going to take your place as a member of the body of Christ, and you aren't going to allow yakety yaks anymore. Yakety yakety. You're going to put a stop to the yakety yakety in your city in the name of Jesus. Now listen, that little demon imp was standing between Kenneth Hagin and Jesus. And that's what's going on. These demonic displays of chaos and lawlessness is keeping people distracted from the truth of Christ. You, my friend, you, the one who's been left in Crete, take your place and turn that city upside down in the name of Jesus. You deal with the devil. Use your authority. Use your authority. Take your place. Open your mouth and decree the word of the Lord in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. How do we end this podcast today? Anybody got any closing thoughts?
Well, here's one. John 3:16.
Come on.
Okay. For God so loved the world that he gave. Big word there. He gave. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We are joined together with the Savior.
Hallelujah. Christina, you got any closing thoughts?
I was just going to encourage everybody to, if you just feel your frustration levels rising, get in the Word, get before some good worship music, get in the quiet. I was doing that this morning, just sitting in some soca music, just praying in tongues, you know, spending some time with the Lord.
Amen.
And peace was all over me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
His peace.
His peace. Well, we hope you were encouraged today. Listen, turn your cities upside down in the name of Jesus. If we can help you in any way, pray for you, send you some resources, reach out to us. Call us 870-741-9099. Leave a message. We'll get right back with you. Listen, friend, use your authority. Know who you are in Christ Jesus. Take your place. Jesus' name. We love you. Thank you for listening. This has been the Grace for This City podcast. And until next Thursday, be blessed, my friends.